Cool. 13 people. We're just going to get started, man. So, hotter every day. Heck yeah. So this is, does the other guy talk?
I do.
He does talk. Yeah. He's just being respectful, I guess. So, so check it out. So this is our second live video and, you know, I wanted to bring you something, that has more content than just shirts and hats and, you know, cool stuff that you can wear around. So, there's lots of guys out there doing lots of cool videos, and there's lots of guys out there doing podcasts, and this is actually our first podcast. We're rolling live, and we'll dump this audio onto Anchor, so if you guys are on Anchor, you can definitely check that out. Militia got the stickers. Good deal. Sweet. So what we want to do is I just want to bring you content that's relevant to our industry, and a lot of times the stuff that I want to bring you, most guys don't know, and it's not necessarily a good or bad thing. It's just that maybe somebody never took the time to teach you, or maybe the people around you aren't doing anything, so you just didn't know. So, first of all, I want to give a shout out to colleagues and friends. We got HVAC Mafia. That's my guy down there in Arizona doing his thing. If you guys aren't following him, check him out. Get some of his gear. We got HVAC Reefer Guy, who has been a key in how our brand has grown so fast. He's an awesome guy, man. He loves giving back to the community. The guys over at Solder Weld, Lance, man, the guy's doing it big. Great products coming out. It's awesome stuff, man. And the HVAC Jerks, the podcast show. If you guys aren't following them, it's super entertaining. I had a chance to have some dinner with those guys while I was in New Jersey, and they're just some great dudes, man. So a lot of knowledge between the three of them. And it's funny to hear him argue about stuff. So nonetheless, so on with the show. Today I have Sean Harris here with us. And him and his dad own AeroSeal of Austin. And if you don't know what AeroSeal is, we're going to get into that. But basically, I've known Sean for a long time, for several years now. And he's probably, when it comes to building performance, probably the smartest guy that I know. And you know, he knows guys who are obviously smarter than him, right? Who have kind of taught him and mentored him through what he does. But he's just super smart. When I have something that comes down to humidity or infiltration or, you know, just leakage or anything like that, Sean's kind of my go-to guy. He's just super smart, and I have a lot of respect for him. And I just want to give him some floor time and let him tell us a little bit about who he is, where he's from, and what he does. So
cool. Thanks, Ben. So I've known Ben for, I think, the past 5 years now, or even before you moved to Austin. Yep. I knew you came to a home and garden show. I remember that. So anyway, a bit about my background. Back when I was going to college, thought I wanted to be a builder. Right as I was putting down some earnest money on a house, that was right around 2008, around when the sort of the recession was hitting, I guess. And it made me take a step back and realize, maybe I don't want to be a builder. I also need to look at like how houses actually work. So I joined up with a friend of mine who owns a company called Positive Energy, and it's a building science company, and they started out testing houses. So we were looking at houses and how they work, what makes people comfortable, what makes homes durable and last a long time, and what makes indoor air quality what it is. You know, we want good, healthy indoor air quality. So
when you say how a home works, you know, a lot of guys may not understand what exactly you're talking about. So maybe elaborate on that a little bit.
Thanks, Ben. So building science is about the home working as a system of systems. So, you know, you've got your HVAC system, right? That system interacts with the other systems in the house, whether that's the ventilation system, whether that's the wall assembly system. There are all these systems that are all interrelated and connected. So that's basically what it is to me, is the study of the interrelated systems and how everything works together.
So a leakier home will technically require more cooling capacity.
Correct, exactly.
So I guess I always refer to as kind of like, everybody kind of knows what a Yeti ice chest is. I say a regular $20 igloo ice chest versus, you know, a really, even an Arctic, right? Arctic and Yeti, pretty much same thing. Which one holds ice longer and better? And the answer is the Yeti and the Arctic, because they're better built, better insulated ice chests, right? That have a tighter air seal. So they hold air longer. So meaning that a tighter home or a better built home will require less cooling capacity, meaning less tonnage, basically. So Let's talk about sizing for a second, right?
Yeah.
In our industry, most AC guys, they go in and they size air conditioners based on square footage, right? Which is a extremely old school way of doing things. It's a basically a guess. It's a shoot from the hip and let's get it done, right? But reality is if that homeowner's taking the time to change out windows for better windows, add insulation, you know, do weather stripping, ceiling outlets and stuff like that, we've now essentially created a tighter home, right? Which would require us to put less tonnage into the home. So what are the downfalls of too big of a system?
Yeah, so I'm sure you guys know what short cycling is. That's the main issue here, I think, is basically your unit's going to run less, and when it does come on, it's going to cool things down faster. Oh, by the way, we're in Austin, so we're talking about a cooling-dominated climate. Up in the north, where it's a drier, colder climate, you know, there's going to be different issues up there. But specifically in our climate in Austin, it's a hot, humid climate zone. And when we get short cycling, we get high humidity inside the house because the coil doesn't have a chance to properly and efficiently get rid of the moisture. It's not actually cooled down in time for the unit to then reach that point and then shut off again. So
wouldn't also this kind of where like two-stage and variable speed compressor systems come into play, and like there's kind of a lot of room for forgiveness in a system like that?
Exactly. And so that's actually, I feel like something that's becoming more common is instead of doing a manual J, they replace like with like, but now it's a variable speed or even VRF equipment, right, or something like that, that can now handle a wider rate.
Yeah, so as most of you guys know, my dad and I run an HVAC company here in Austin, and I would say about 80% of all the systems we replace are variable capacity systems, so modulating compressors basically, right? So at the end of the day, that unit is able to basically dial in and adequately deliver only what's necessary for the home at any given time, because when we size a system, we size it based on worst case conditions, which is peak of summer. But what happens when it's not peak of summer? Well, usually your single stage air conditioner is going to be oversized now. And so at the end of the day, doing the heat load calculation, whether you put in a variable speed system, two speed or single speed, that doesn't matter. You should still be doing a heat load calculation if you want to do it right. And I know there's a lot of guys out there that will argue this till their grave. But if every third party, Department of Energy, Energy Star, Consumer Reports, even every AC manufacturer, if they tell you to do a heat load calculation, would you not think that it's probably a pretty important thing to do?
Definitely, right? Definitely.
So let's talk about, maybe talk about duct leakage for a minute, right?
Yeah.
So does duct leakage affect size of equipment?
Yeah, so from a capacity perspective, right, the average duct system leaks maybe 20%, let's say. So if that 20% of air, you could capture that back again, that means you could put in a 20% smaller unit and get by just as well. Obviously, they don't make 20% smaller units,
sure,
but you can do a couple of other things to the home, and now you're putting in half a ton less or something like that. If you put in a smaller unit, it's then going to run longer, and when it runs longer, it dehumidifies more. So you're basically providing more comfort without those starting amps, so more efficiently providing better comfort. So
ceiling ductwork can get expensive, though.
Definitely.
Right. So in places like in Arizona, right, where I'm originally from, and, Mafia and Reefer Guy, you guys know, hey, at the end of the day, man, we don't have humidity to remove out there, right, unless it's monsoon season. But here in Austin and a lot of other places, there's tons of humidity that we have to be able to remove. So having a properly sealed duct system, it kind of goes hand in hand. You can buy the best air conditioner money can buy, but what's the point if you're just leaking a bunch of air randomly into the attic space, right? So now maybe some homeowners might say, well, it's been leaking for 20 years, just leave it alone. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, sealing it is really the right way to go.
Exactly.
So by sealing it, we can effectively bring the tonnage down a smidge.
Definitely.
Right? Mm-hmm. But what else does duct sealing do for us?
Yeah, so I sort of want to go back to a little bit more about my background and why it is that I do what I do. So after I thought I wanted to be a builder, I got into looking at houses and testing houses, and I got to go in and test 20, 30-year-old houses, and I'd measure duct leakage, I'd measure building envelope leakage, I'd measure airflows coming out of the vents, I'd measure static pressure, I'd see all these things about the house. And then I would also do new construction, energy code testing for code compliance reasons. And I would look at those two things and I'd go, okay, HVAC contractors today are struggling to seal brand new ducts. And then I go 20 years from now and see the leaky ducts with the poor indoor air quality, with the, you know, people with asthma and high humidity and all of these things in these homes, and really get to see the differences there and all of the impacts that, you know, the contractors today are struggling with. 20 years from now, those are going to be a lot of serious problems. So from that perspective, I saw that duct leakage was a major contributor to all of these things. So poor airflow, poor humidity control, poor particulates, so more particulates in the air from the attic and things like that.
So unhealthy air.
Definitely,
right?
Definitely.
So what I heard you just say is that brand new duct systems have a lot of leakage.
They do.
Explain that to me.
Yeah, so there's just so many connections, and they're difficult to get to. They're difficult to access, low pitch roofs and things where the ducts are sort of crammed into different places. Getting every single seam sealed well is difficult.
It's time consuming.
Very time consuming, tedious.
Which turns into not cost effective.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
So usually the guys who are the cheap guys are the guys who are skipping the steps to be able to get in and out super fast, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Which ultimately turns into the customer has to front the bill on all of that for the mm-hmm. next 20, 30, 40 years, however long that duct system goes unattended, basically.
Exactly.
Right? So what made you say, I want to get into sealing ducts and home performance for a living?
Yeah, so after testing and listening to all of these homeowners have all of these problems and being able to then make something that's invisible. So air is this sort of invisible fluid that's all around us. And it's really interesting to see the people who really have a grasp on it. You really have to be able to measure it on a daily basis, you know, to really understand what exactly we're talking about here when we're talking about air as a fluid. Anyway, that's sort of where, hold on, what was the question? Sorry. Just lost my train of thought.
No, it happens. Hey, yeah. We call those senior moments. As you start to get older, it just happens. So we were talking about sealing of ducts and how they affect the home in different aspects of the way. So humidity, duct leakage, brand new ducts actually leaking.
Yeah, so if you get to measure that leakage on a daily basis, you understand the quantity of air that comes out, right? So CFM is 1 cubic feet of air per minute is like a basketball, right? So most of these systems I go in and test that are brand new systems are leaking, I don't know, 120, 200 basketballs every minute out of the system whenever it's operating.
That's pretty much like half a ton of air.
Exactly. So, why that is, I think that if more people could measure the air and more people had an understanding of the impact of their job, basically, when they go in there to seal those ducts, the more they would want to seal those ducts, because air is this invisible thing, and if you don't know that it's leaking out that much, then why does it matter, right?
Sure. So obviously, installing duct work, we want to seal it when we install it, usually most guys don't, and it's just, mm-hmm. it's sad to say, but it's just the reality of the industry that we're in, right? And this is where you either choose to be really good at what you do, or you just do your thing and you get out and you go to the next job and, you know, then you're gone. So there's a couple different ways to seal ductwork, correct?
Mm-hmm.
One would be by hand, or what we would call prescriptive, right? Just with mastic and a brush and tape, basically, right? Which is how most guys seal in the industry. But there's also a product called AeroSeal.
Correct.
So explain to me what AeroSeal is, because a lot of guys have never heard it. And when you do explain it to them, they're like, that doesn't sound safe at all. Mm-hmm. So explain to me what AeroSeal is.
Yeah. So originally I was sealing ducts by hand and I didn't like it very much being up in the attics for so long. And then even after sealing, you know, I could spend half a day sealing someone's ducts and I'd go back down and test them and they'd still be leaking. And it was very frustrating to see that the leakage wasn't dropping as fast as I felt like I was sealing it. So what AeroSeal is basically an automated system that automatically seals ductwork from the inside. And at first I thought it was snake oil. I thought that, you know, this thing, if it does actually work, it's not gonna last. It has to be terrible for indoor air quality. Anyway, it's vetted. It's been around for 20 years, developed at the Lawrence Berkeley Labs out in California with funding from the Department of Energy. So it sort of has some backing behind it. It's been used in some really big projects where it needed to, you know, meet stringent air quality standards, also longevity standards and things like that. So it has commercial applications as well. So it goes through all of those other chemical testing and things like that. It's been used in hospitals. It's been used in oil rigs. It's been used all over the place. So anyway, so it does have this tremendous credibility to it, and it really does work. So
well, if hospitals can use it, then obviously it's pretty good for us to use it.
Exactly.
Or okay for us to use it.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I always explain AeroSeal as kind of fix a flat for ductwork. That's kind of the easiest mm-hmm. way to explain it to a homeowner or to somebody who doesn't know what it is. What is it called? Sorry, I was late on the name. So KB, it's called AeroSeal. AeroSeal. And it's basically it's an aerosol, correct? You mm-hmm. want to explain that process?
Yeah, so basically what it does is I have a liquid jug of it. It sort of looks like Elmer's glue. It's really expensive Elmer's glue, but so it's liquid, and I turn it into a fog, so an aerosol that I then, under pressure, distribute it throughout the duct system. So I create an airflow inside the duct system, and the leaks help that flow. So the flow naturally flows towards the leak. I have this fog inside the system, and it's a vinyl acetate polymer. So it's similar to mastic, basically, but depending on the type of mastic, I guess. All mastics have like a vinyl in them, so that's sort of what I think what it's based on. And it just goes towards those leaks, and then wherever there's a hole, it seals it up to 5/8 of an inch.
So I've seen some, personally, I've seen some pretty big gaps be filled with AeroSeal, and the machine will do it if you leave the machine running long enough. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's a great product. It's been around for a long time. It's not anything new. You know, they've gone through different revisions of the machines and, you know, generations of the machines and stuff. But it was created when?
Back in the early 90s. So I think 92, 93.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So residential, commercial, I know Sean seals a lot of ventilation shafts in big commercial buildings with it. Mm-hmm. You know, as those fans are moving the air through the ventilation shaft, if you have leaks in that shaft, then it's not really moving the air through the shaft. It's drawing it in halfway up or, you know, 5 feet from the top or wherever the holes may be. So it's a great product. So what's the stench like after? How long is the residue smell? Mm.
So it depends on how much sealant we put into a system as to whether or not there is a smell. The smell doesn't last for more than a few hours if there is ever a smell. So it's got lower VOCs than latex paint and no VOCs once it dries up, which is in about 10, 20 minutes or something like that.
Okay. So like you said, you know, it's been vetted. You know, they're not going to put their name on something that is... you know, going to kill people basically. But I, you know, I've personally been in homes where people are just so hell bent on, you know, air quality this, air quality that, and they're like, no, we will not put that stuff in our ductwork. Mm-hmm. And they don't realize the stuff that's actually in your ductwork.
Exactly. So. Yeah. The resins that are in the fiberglass, normal mastic, most people don't use zero or even low VOC mastic. So all of those sealants are going into the system anyway. They just didn't know it at the
right
time. So.
Very cool. So, did we miss anything on the AeroSeal stuff?
No, I think that's it. I mean, just one more thing to say about this, you know, duct sealing anyway, is that I've done before and after measurements with, you know, duct leakage measurements and things like that. But I've also measured airflows before and after air sealing, and it's really cool to see that I can recoup that airflow.
Okay.
From sealing the ducts.
So, KB says something pretty cool. So, is there something that you can just blindly shoot in there? To answer that question, yes, it is, but it's a process to set up the machine and everything else. I personally have done AeroSeal on manufactured homes, and as you turn the machine on, the vinyl in the kitchen actually starts floating like a balloon, and the reason is because manufactured homes have just notorious duct leakage. I mean, mm-hmm. it's crazy how much duct leakage. Mm-hmm. And think about it, they're shoving all that air through duct that's like this big, right? So by sealing all that stuff, you know, the average home loses something like 30-40% of their heating and cooling through their duct system. So, you know, for every dollar you spend to heat and cool your home, you're just randomly losing 30-40 cents just all willy-nilly into the attic space, right? Mm-hmm. Now, maybe if you planned on hanging out in the attic space, that's probably not a bad thing, but reality is that you're probably not, right? Mm-hmm. But it's not only leaking air out into the attic, but it can also leak air in, right? Or exactly. Pull air in via how?
Yeah, so there's a thing called the Venturi effect where a positively pressurized hole can then allow air to sort of back up upstream into it. But more importantly, I think, for me nowadays, is that when the unit shuts off, right? So now the unit is no longer on, the ducts are no longer pressurized. This is still a building envelope leak, right? The ductwork is a part of your building envelope. And you've got now all of these cold surfaces inside the ducts, and you've got hot, humid attic air, and that moisture is driving its way into those cold surfaces and then condensing on it. So oftentimes, we originally got into duct sealing, and through duct sealing, I realized how dirty and how moldy ductwork was. And so we got into duct cleaning just to fix some of the problems that I've seen from the duct leakage. Basically, the cold surface is now condensed. There's maybe some dust or dirt in the air. And now all of a sudden, you've got some sort of mold growth going on that either, you know, most moldy ductwork needs to be replaced, but right. There's some that can be cleaned as well.
So, yeah, we basically have moved from ductwork right now into building performance, so to speak, right? But mm-hmm. The ductwork has a huge impact on the building performance itself. Mm-hmm. So there was a question on there, is there a video that you can see this? Yeah, man, you can just Google AeroSeal and you'll come up. I mean, Bob Vila has done stuff. Yeah. I think Homes on Homes. Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's some really reputable and credible people that have used the product and they really like it. So, and they stand behind it. So I personally have used the product. Tons of times, and it's a great product. It is, without replacing duct, it is the best way to seal existing ductwork. But because even when you do replace brand new ductwork, sometimes you can't get everything to be as tight as it could be, and that's where AeroSeal comes back in again, right? Kind of the double whammy, right? Yeah. So, but it's not inexpensive by any means. I mean, there's some people in that throughout the country that are selling it for like what $4,500 or $5,000 or somewhere in there. So it's definitely not inexpensive. But when you can't get to ductwork without ripping down ceilings and stuff like that, I mean, it's the way to seal ductwork, right? Mm-hmm. So. Man, I'm going to give this a shot when I can. Yeah, I mean, it's an expensive endeavor to get into AeroSeal. You got to buy the machine, and I mean, it's expensive, right? Your best bet, if you wanted to kind of put your foot in the water with it, is find somebody in your town or around your area locally that has a machine, and then just contract that machine out. So maybe have a meeting with them, ask them how much they're going to charge you, and pass that over onto your clients and say, hey, we can seal your ductwork, you know, and get it really tight to basically enhance not just the comfort of the home, but the overall health of the home. So indoor air quality, getting rid of the fiberglass, the allergens, the humidity, the comfort problems, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So it's a great product, man. If you haven't heard of it, you're living under a rock because it's been around for a long time. But I travel the country and I talk to a bunch of other guys, and a lot of those guys don't know what it is either. And I'm not real sure why such a great product has kind of been, you know, hiding in our industry. And our industry is not that big when you really stop and think about it. I mean, and Instagram's a prime example of this, right? Exactly. So home performance, right? Mm-hmm. So you kind of have an AeroSeal for homes now.
Correct. Right?
So explain mm-hmm. to me what that is.
Yeah, so first off, you talk about home performance, and I really feel like the HVAC contractor today needs to know about home performance. That you can't just go in and replace a box and expect the box to function the way it needs to if you don't have the proper distribution system. If you don't have a sealed building envelope, your clients are going to be uncomfortable, and they think that replacing the box is going to fix their comfort when it's actually not 100% true all the time. There's the ductwork, there's the building envelope, there's how they even use their home that can have a great impact on people's comfort.
But then they don't always blame the contractor. They blame the brand of AC.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And so it's homeowner education that needs to happen through an HVAC tech that is home performance oriented. And I really feel like that's where the industry should be going, because air quality, comfort, these are things that fall on the HVAC contractor. It doesn't fall on me necessarily. It doesn't fall on the plumber or the electrician. You know, it falls right. on the HVAC contractor. And so for them to have a good understanding of the building science behind everything else aside from the box is really going to give them an advantage in the marketplace and set them apart from their competition.
Yeah, I'm not going to leakages can be a godsend to people with undersized ducting.
Yeah. Oh, and so speaking of that, we always look at the ducts before, and if there's some undersized returns, for example, most of the time undersized supplies too, but we'll recommend putting in an extra duct or enlarging their return before we seal, because obviously static pressure can
You can never really have too much return air.
Exactly.
Right? So too much return air is a good thing. Not so much on the supply end of things, but you want the system to breathe for sure. So when it comes to home performance, I'm starting to see a trend now, right, where a lot of HVAC guys are now starting to move into that, but the days of just replacing your box outside, you know, if that's all you do as an HVAC guy, those days are coming to an end. And there's also a lot of laws and stuff that are coming down the pipeline with a lot of different cities and townships and municipals, right, where basically you can't just do that anymore. They want to see testing. They want to see manual J's, manual D's, manual S's. Like, they want to know that as you go, if you're going to go in there and change out that box, we want you to make sure that you know what you're doing. Because at the end of the day, you're holding a ton of liability, right? And so, and guys, I'll be the first to tell you that I don't know everything, and I've jacked some stuff up. I'll tell you straight up, right? But it's not what you do, it's what you do with what you did, right? So it's learning from the things that you messed up on, having somebody else come in and teach you something, but being open and willing to learn that stuff. Because at the end of the day, there's no way that you can know everything that there is to know in this trade, right? Just like, I don't know what Sean knows about home performance, but he doesn't know what I know about HVAC, right? So we in some respects make a really good team when it comes to that kind of stuff. So home performance, right? How would we seal a home? With Tyvek?
Yeah, so there's different control layers in a building envelope. So Tyvek is one of those control layers that's going to control some vapor from coming in and stop some air and things like that. That's definitely an option. Oftentimes it's not sealed the best. So getting into sort of building envelope leakage, that's sort of the direction I'm sort of going now. The same company that invented AeroSeal invented another product, the exact same as the ductwork, but for building envelopes. So I can go in now and seal a home just the same way I would seal the ductwork with this product called Aero Barrier. And you combine the two, and you're now making this really, really tight home with really, really tight ductwork. It now opens up a whole new can of worms, as it were, for the HVAC contractor, because now we need to make sure that there's proper dehumidification. We need to make sure there's proper ventilation. And the home is less forgiving when it gets tighter, but it's more controllable. You can now control all of the air that's coming in. With a building envelope, how many holes would you like in your building? Probably zero. You don't want any holes, so that you can then control the holes that do come in through proper ventilation, basically.
So too tight of a home can be a bad thing, right? Without proper ventilation coming back in, right?
Exactly.
So, because when you flip on your dryer and your exhaust fans in your bathrooms, which a lot of people think that they're designed to remove smelly farts, but they're not. It's actually designed to remove humidity, right? So when you take a shower, and you should be telling your customers this, when you take a shower, you should be running that fan during a shower and let it run for 20, 30 minutes after a shower. Mm-hmm. And now they make exhaust fans with humidistat sensors,
yep,
right?
Exactly.
So they basically come on by themselves whenever the humidity is high enough. So when you turn on all these things that are basically drawing air out of the home, we've now created this negative pressure on the house. Well, mm-hmm. Where does all that air come from?
Exactly. It comes in through the leaks in the building envelope. And when a house is leakier, it still comes in through those leaks. You don't quite depressurize as much. But for every CFM that goes out of that fan, it has to have another CFM of equal value,
right,
coming in from outside. But now you're bringing in all this extra latent load that now your HVAC system has to
work overtime to take care of.
Exactly.
Yeah. So Aero Barrier is like Aero Seal. It obviously seals like fix a flat for your entire house, right?
Mm-hmm.
At what stage of your building process do you actually do that?
So it can be done at multiple stages. The best stage is right when your air barrier gets in, depending on your wall assembly. But it can actually be done in retrofit applications as well. It just takes a little bit more work on prepping the house, because you're going to fill the house with fog and you need to make sure all of the surfaces are protected accordingly.
Gotcha. It's a lot to take in, man.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Especially if you don't know anything about this kind of stuff. You're just kind of like, what the heck? Where do I even start? Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So where would somebody start in this whole process?
That's a great question. I think that there's a lot of free information out there. One of the things I would definitely want to say that people should start following is the Building Science podcast. It's put on by Positive Energy, the other company that I work for. And it is a wealth of free information. So, you know, when you're driving to your next job, instead of listening to, you know, the music or whatever you're listening to, put on that podcast, and every single time I learn something new when I listen to those podcasts. It's amazing.
So I personally don't have time to read books. Like, my life is just so go, go, go. If I'm not doing something related to business, I'm doing something with my family. And so when I'm driving down the road, I'm always listening to whether it be a podcast or YouTube videos. I'm not watching them. I'm just listening to them while I'm driving. But yeah, I mean, I'm always just trying to learn something new, right? Because you can never know everything. So, you know, the more equipped you are with the knowledge, right? And they say knowledge is power, and I say it's what you do with that knowledge is the power, right? Because you can know all this stuff and not give two craps and friggin' not do anything with it, right? Well, right. What's the point, right? Mm-hmm. So, knowing or having the knowledge and then actually doing something with that knowledge. And I will tell you that, you know, we live in markets in the HVAC business where it's cutthroat, right? People are constantly chopping guys at the knees, trying to get a job based on being the lowest bidder. And at the end of the day, that's not necessarily what a homeowner wants, even though that's what a lot of contractors think that that's what happens, but that's not what happens. And I land jobs all the time simply because I'm more knowledgeable than my competition. And so, and it's not because it's been unfair at some level. I've just taken the time to learn this stuff, right? So having all that knowledge in your back pocket and being able to talk to a homeowner, not in a talking down to them kind of manner, but being able to educate them and let them make that decision what's best for them. Typically, an educated consumer will make a better buying decision. And so, you know, if you're tired of being that low ball guy and not really making any money doing HVAC, man, maybe it's time to kind of change the way you're thinking about stuff and, you know, start talking about seal and ductwork and properly sizing systems and relaying all that information to a homeowner. And the homeowner's more likely to go with you because you seem like you're more educated than the last guy who came in, right, with his pants hanging off his rear and, you know, look like he just woke up or whatever. So, you know, acting the part, being the part, speaking the part, but man, it all starts right here. It's a mindset thing, right? So, so Aero Barrier, Aero Seal, great stuff. Positive Energy, they're a great company, man. They got a lot of cool stuff going on. So tell me about them.
So currently what Positive Energy does is they do high-end residential duct design. So they do manual J, manual D, manual S. They do everything. They pick out the equipment. They pick out the register selection, the diffuser selection. They pick out where the ducts are going to go. And they basically have this integrated mechanical design. And what that basically means is from the beginning of the architect's drawings, they're drawing in their ducts to sort of match up with everything else. So when the architect changes a wall that was ordinarily a wall to a wall full of windows, now we need a bigger duct to go to that area, and it just automatically gets bigger, and it gets sort of integrated with all the other systems in the house, electrical, plumbing, lighting, so that the chases that the ductwork goes through, there's enough room for the ducts.
So what you're telling me is that beam that's not supposed to be there, that is now there.
Exactly.
They find a way to get a duct.
They know about it, and now they talk with the structural engineer, whoever needs to be talked to figure out how they're going to get the airflow where it needs to go around the structure.
See, that's huge, right? Because in our industry, it's kind of like, oh man, stupid engineers, right?
Exactly.
They put this stupid beam. How am I supposed to get this ductwork through this beam?
Right.
Or through a wall that doesn't exist, or whatever the case may be. So, you know, and a lot of installers kind of have that mindset towards the sales guy. Like, oh, stupid sales guy, how am I supposed to fit this, you know, 300-pound rhino in a little bitty mason jar, right?
Right.
It's like, it just doesn't happen. So, So they're both great products. So Positive Energy, they're located here in Austin. If you're in the Austin area and you need some assistance or with some engineering and some drawing and stuff like that, they also do, I guess, manual J's and manual D's and stuff like
Correct.
That as well.
Yeah, and actually, they used to just do standalone manual J's for HVAC contractors and have sort of moved away from that. to this specific business model of an integrated mechanical design. So they will do the entire process from start to finish, and that way they're sort of not liable but responsible for it, right? Like if you just hand someone a manual J, it's like, well, what if the design changes from when we gave you the manual J to later? You know, who's sure. going to update it and that sort of thing? Sure. So making sure that everything stays.
Yeah, current. So somebody chimed in RightSoft. So I personally use RightSoft. I may be getting away from RightSoft here in the very near future. I'm still kind of up in the air about it. But, you know, design temperatures, right? If a homeowner wants to keep the house at 70 in peak of summer, then that changes the load, right? And you got to account for that in the load calculation. You know, if they go from single pane windows and they decide to put in double pane low E, well, that changes the load of the home, and you got to account for that in the load calculation itself. So, you know, those are conversations that I always have with homeowners, and basically is asking them, you know, hey, you have really old windows. Do you plan on replacing these windows? If the answer is yes, I want to know when, how soon, how serious are they about doing it? Not just a, oh yeah, we're going to replace them. Because if I adjust my size of my system based on you replacing those windows, well, now it's going to be too small for the house and you're going to be upset, right? So there's just lots of dialogue that has to take place with you and a homeowner for you to really understand what it is they're doing and what it is where it is they're going with the home. Mm-hmm. But variable speed compressor systems, there's a lot of room for forgiveness in those, right? Mm-hmm. So we can size it based on worst case conditions. And if you replace the windows, it's not that big of a deal because the system just dials itself back. Right, as long as we can maintain proper CFM, then we're good to go. So, I think we missed a couple questions because we're too busy yapping. But somebody tried to chime in for a live video, and we're just not taking live videos on this. I just want to try to focus on the guest. But so, did we miss anything with?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many other topics, obviously. You know, talking about ventilation, for example. Oftentimes, I go into homes where the HVAC contractor has shut the damper for the ventilation, and so there's no ventilation going into these houses, no fresh air coming in. And I used to be in the same boat, right? You bring in all this hot, humid air from outside, and why? Why do you want to overwhelm your system with essentially duct leakage straight from outside? And I used to think that would overwhelm the system with the latent capacity, not being able to handle it. But now I realize that ventilation is its own thing that needs to happen in the house regardless. So indoor air quality is affected if we don't have ventilation in code-built houses or tighter. And firsthand, right, so I've aero-buried my own house and found out that not ventilating your house can have some serious implications for humidity, for VOCs, for smells in the house, like smells that were just coming around.
So you're saying you learned something through that?
I did, yes. So I then turned on my ventilating dehumidifier after 10 days of suffering, and immediately everything got better. Within a day, anyway, my air quality had cleared up.
So I guess at some level, the home is going to ventilate whether you do something about it or not, right? And it's just a matter of, is it going to be good ventilation or bad ventilation?
Right, exactly.
And most homes are probably leaning towards the bad ventilation.
Right. You want to be able to control it yourself and bring it in on your terms and maybe dehumidify it while you're doing it. So, you know, look into ventilation and give it some serious thought. Don't just close the dampers on things, because that can lead to some major problems.
So HVAC today is really about comfort and control, right? Mm-hmm. You know, people go, well, I don't need that really expensive variable capacity system. Kind of you do, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're looking for ultimate control and comfort, then that's really where it's at, right? But that and sealing the ductwork and then adding some fresh air, but also being able to kind of clean up that fresh air as it comes in. I mean, there's just so much to it. And then we could probably sit here and talk for hours about how much stuff, but building science is just a huge thing. I mean, get on the podcast, get on, you know, webinars, man, train, right? FHA services, sick homes, you got it, man. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we don't realize that what's in our homes is actually hurting us because we just can't see it, right?
Exactly.
But you go in your home and you're like, man, why are my allergies so bad in the house? Well, mm-hmm. I can tell you why, right? Yeah. Why is my house so dusty? Well, mm-hmm. I can tell you why. There's lots of reasons why you would want to address all that stuff. But
and one more point to bring up. You mentioned variable speed units a lot. And so when you slow down the speed that the air is going through, you're then going to run the unit for a little longer for it to cool, right? Yep. So that air is now going through, that unit is running for longer, which means that your duct leakage is happening longer. So you're forcing the air, exactly. So if the unit runs all the time, it means you're always having that duct leakage. At least when it's short cycling, you only have like 10 minutes of duct leakage. But now you have it all the time. And so what some of my HVAC clients have learned is that on every variable piece of equipment that they put in, they seal the ducts because there's no sense in installing this high efficient piece of equipment that is now essentially running on flat tires, right? It's not getting the airflow where it needs to because it's just continually leaking out of the system.
That's great, man. That's great. Yeah. So, you know, I'm not sure, you know, everybody who's been chiming in, I'm not sure what type of systems that they install, whether it's just kind of entry level stuff or middle of the road or higher end stuff. But, you know, I tend to lean towards the higher end pieces of equipment, variable speed, minimum of two stage. I'm a firm believer that anybody buying an AC today should buy nothing less than a two speed air conditioner. That's just my professional and my personal opinion. And it's because I know what the systems are capable of doing and the increase in comfort that it can and control that it can have within a home. See, most people in a home have never really had the opportunity to experience real comfort in their home because their existing systems are just not capable of producing that, right? They just think however their system operates, it's just normal. And, you know, to them, it's just normal because that's what they live with day in and day out.
Right.
But I would tell you, you know, the people who spend a lot of money replacing their HVAC systems are the people who reach back out to us and say, man, I love my new HVAC system. And you would never think that you could get, you know, a 40-year-old housewife to be excited about HVAC, right? And so, you know, we as HVAC guys in this new generation, we're all coming through this, we have to make HVAC cool again, right? I'm tired of the old days where everybody just always, oh, you're a contractor? Oh, you're a plumber? Oh, you're an electrician? You know, always looking down on the trades. And, you know, we have to bring it back. We have to make it cool. But it starts with us, and it starts with the education. It starts with doing your job and doing it well and doing it right. You know, the old days of HVAC are gone, right? My grandfather's in his 80s. He's still in this business, and he's just still stuck in that old mindset, right? He's just it's been working for him for 65 years. Just keep doing it, right? So my whole thing is hey, those are the old timers, man. They paved the way for us, but technology has changed, right? Building performance has changed, and you have to be able to adapt to that new technology and the new codes and the new standards to deliver the very best for people. So that's kind of my two cents on the whole subject. So
yeah, well said.
So anything else on the home barrier or aero barrier or home aero barrier?
Yeah, aero barrier. Aero barrier. Exactly. Yeah.
So if you guys haven't seen that, definitely check it out. Aero Seal, definitely check that out.
Yeah.
You said Positive Energy has podcasts.
Definitely. Yes.
So do they just? Is it an Anchor or?
I think if you just Google it, okay. It's definitely in iTunes. It's in a couple of other places as well.
So Positive Energy is the name of that, right?
Yeah, the Building Science Podcast.
Building Science Podcast. So be sure to check that stuff out.
Yeah. And then also, I post things that I see in the field for like duct cleaning and duct sealing and things on Aero Seal of Austin. That's my Instagram handle for that. And then IAQ Texas is another one that that's sort of still our company that sort of that's what we do aero barrier through. So if you guys are interested in those, definitely check those out.
Yeah, so Aero Seal of Austin, be sure to check it on Instagram, Aero Seal of Austin and IAQ Texas, right? So Sean's a great dude, man. He's super knowledgeable, and I'm sure if you hit him up with some questions, not that I want to bombard you with, you know, 20 different direct messages.
Happy to help. Yeah, I really feel like Instagram in general is how we today can sort of gain an edge and be more confident and be more educated through this sort of free sharing of information. So I'm a big proponent of that.
Yeah. You don't got to travel across the country, dude.
Exactly.
Right? It's right there in your face. And, you know, you're on Instagram anyway on the job, right? I know this to be true. So you might as well learn something in the process. So what's up, guys? Thanks for joining, man. So, so Sean's a great guy, man. He's got a ton of knowledge behind him. So if you are not utilizing, Instagram platform to further your training and your knowledge, man, you're totally missing the boat. I gotta say HVAC in general on Instagram is probably surpassing what HVAC is doing on Facebook. It's pretty awesome to watch everything unfold, but, all VRF, yep, the services. I agree with that, man. I'm a huge fan of it. And there's certain aspects, certain times when it's not a great fit for, like, especially residential. But it's kind of few and far between. Yeah. But there's definitely some times where I'm just like, I don't think this is going to work here.
Yeah, my opinion on VRF is it's great, but be careful with the humidity. I don't feel like they handle humidity as well. And so putting in some standalone dehumidification, to me, VRF is great as long as you have the humidity controlled in our climate.
Good to know. Mm-hmm. So Midwest Tools, they sent me a cleat driver. We'll be doing another video on this. I'm going to go down to a sheet metal shop here in Austin, and we'll start driving some cleats onto some metal ductwork and really test that thing out.
Cool.
So he's from the desert. So, yeah, no humidity in the desert, right? Mm-hmm. Depends on which desert, I guess.
Well, internal loads at that point, I think. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they way oversized systems. I'm originally from Arizona, so, you know, it's... You know, they did 400 square feet per ton. 2,000 square foot house, 5-ton system. That's the way it was done, right? Mm-hmm. But times have definitely changed for sure. So let's take just a couple minutes. I'm not sure how much time we have left, if it even gives me a countdown. But filtration of a home, right? We've been talking about sealing a home, sealing ductwork. We've been talking about whole home performance and stuff. Well, what about filtration, right? We're obviously breathing this air.
Definitely.
And the air's passing through the system, which I was just at a home just today with dog hair everywhere. Mm-hmm. And the minute I took some pictures and turned around and showed the lady, she was just like, oh my gosh. I had her full attention of what was going on, right? So people don't realize until you throw it in their face and show them, hey, this is what's going on. This is what your system looks like. So let's talk filtration.
Yeah, I mean, I guess first let's talk about particulates, right? So the reason why we filter is to pretty much filter the particulates out of the air. And the reason why we're doing that, predominantly, obviously, and I guess traditionally, is to protect the coil. We want to not have anything get to the coil because the coil is then going to get clogged. Things will start growing on the coil. Now the coil is freezing up because the airflow has dropped. So those are the like reasons why we want to filter. But beyond that, beyond filtering to protect the coil, there's all sorts of indoor air quality implications of not putting in the right size filter, not filtering enough particulates out of the air. You know, there's been a rise in PM 2.5, for example, right? So we're talking about fine and ultra-fine particulates that are in the air. And what happens with those particulates is we breathe them in. And the smaller ones, we don't breathe out. So if a particulate is small enough, we're going to breathe it in, and then it's going to go straight into our bloodstream. So let's just say that there's particulates floating around in the air right now, and they land on this laminate table here. And there's off-gassing that's happening, VOCs on this table. And now we've got VOCs that are laced in with these particulates. We walk by this, you know, particulate goes up into the air, and now we breathe it in. And now we've got VOCs in our bloodstream through having high particulates in our house.
So it's not just the VOCs just floating around, the gases just floating around.
Yeah, so VOCs typically stay at like, when they're off-gassing, they stay at sort of concentrated levels really low, close to the surface.
Hmm.
And that's how, when those particulates land, they then are now in this sort of like concentrated VOC area, if it were.
The radiation zone.
Yeah, exactly. So... you know, sort of these sort of visuals can make you understand like why filtration is important. And not always does it matter. Every house, every client, every person is different. So I can't make broad statements to say everybody needs to filter with MERV 16 filters. That's not what I'm saying at all. But there are times where you want to filter more than other times. And when you do filter, you want to make sure that you're providing enough free open surface area that you're not undersizing your return by sticking in a filter that's too strong.
You gotta be checking static pressures.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, you know, for us personally, we install MERV 11 filter, 5-inch thick MERV 11 filters on pretty much every system that we install.
Mm-hmm.
And we check statics and make sure, you know, everything's kind of dialed in. But at the end of the day, you know, can you over filter? You could, sure.
Mm-hmm.
But can you under filter? It's usually what happens,
right?
And so the air in the home is going to get filtered one way or another. It's going to get either filtered through a really good filtration system, or it's going to get filtered through you. And you have to decide which end of the spectrum you want to be on, right?
Exactly.
And so I've just found it's easier to just include it automatically with the job.
Mm-hmm.
The homeowner's less likely to go, no, I don't want that, right? Now, you're going to get cheap guys for sure, and they're going to be, oh, well, I don't want that. Okay, then we'll back it out of the price if you're not interested in that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, you're spending thousands and thousands of dollars, it's a good idea to help protect that investment that you're putting into your home, exactly. Right?
And the media filter is such a good way to go. A, if you have any return side duct leakage, you're now capturing it at the unit. And B, the open area of that, you get more airflow through those things than having to replace a filter once a month at the grill.
Yeah, so. And a lot of people go, it's a huge misnomer, right, for most consumers and even HVAC guys that, oh, we don't use those big thick filters because they restrict too much airflow. Mm-hmm. And if you were to check the statics between a 1-inch pleated filter and a 5-inch pleated filter, you'll find that the statics are lower on the 5-inch filter because they have more surface area to them. Mm-hmm. I was just looking at a MERV, and we'll probably do a whole nother video on this, but I have a MERV 16 filter that if I were to undo it and stretch it out, it would probably stretch about 50 feet.
Yeah.
Because there's so many pleats, right? I think I counted them. It was like 149 pleats or something like that. Mm-hmm. And they're like 4 inches a piece, right? Do the math. It's like 48, 49 feet or something like that. So, I mean, they're long and there's a lot of surface area there. Now, when those things do get full of dirt, they are freaking heavy.
Yeah.
it's crazy how heavy they are, right? Mm-hmm. But yeah, filtration is a huge thing, right? So, but filtration only and purification only fixes half of the problem, right?
Exactly.
The other half would be
source control.
Yeah. Sealing the ductwork where it's actually infiltrating into the home to begin with. Mm-hmm. So it kind of goes hand in hand, right? So it's, you're better off saying, hey, let's not spend $15,000, or if you're going to spend $15,000, let's only spend $12,000 of that on the system, and then the rest of that $3,000, let's put it into sealing the ductwork and putting a good filter on the system, right? Mm-hmm. However you want to divvy it up, you got to really attack the whole system, right? So three main components in a system is the equipment itself, the duct system, and then the people putting it in, right?
Yeah.
And they all really need to be on an equal playing field, because you can buy the best air conditioner money can buy, but what's the point if you're just going to freaking slap it in and be done? Mm-hmm. You know, I personally would rather take a properly installed Goodman than a hacked together Lennox. That's just my whatever your brand of choice may be. Most homeowners blame the brand when really they should be blaming the contractor installing it. Mm-hmm. So, because let's face it, all the brands are relatively the same, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a couple differences here and there, but for the most part, they're pretty much the same. So, lots of good stuff, man. So, you have anything you want to cap off with?
No, I think we've sort of hit everything. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of people on here who disagree with the things that I'm saying, and that's totally fine. They're entitled to their own opinions, but definitely do some research. You know, I hope that sort of opened up a dialogue where you can sort of go in and sort of learn about some of these topics, and then you're now getting educated yourself.
Yeah. So. Well, you know, HVAC know-it-all, right? Everybody, mm-hmm. everybody knows who Gary is, right? He says it takes 5 minutes to be a better technician, and I 100% agree with that. It takes 5 minutes, man. Pick up something, read it. Turn around, watch a video, listen to a podcast. I mean, you learn something, you retain it, and you're off to the races, right? Mm-hmm. So keep learning, keep doing what you're doing. Be sure to follow Sean, AeroSeal of Austin, that's his Instagram handle, and then IAQ Texas, also another Instagram handle. Mm-hmm. Got people wanting to come in live. So,
cool.
You want to take a live?
That's up to you,
Sean. I don't know how much time we have. There's no countdown thing on here. So let's do this. I think this guy asked first. So we'll do him. Yeah, we've been doing, I don't know, a good 40, 50 minutes probably.
Yeah.
So
there's a lot to talk about. So many different subjects.
There really is, man.
We could have taken like just filtration and done a full hour
and exploded it for sure.
Something. Yeah.
Waiting for Jose, man, 22. Nada. Nope. Going once, going twice. Nope. Let's do, how do we get back into that?
I don't know.
I think
you
it was HVAC Heathen. Mm. I think he was trying to get in. Chime me back, brother, if you want to get in. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there's just so much information. It's just crazy, man.
Mm-hmm.
Kept kicking me out. Yeah, sometimes Instagram does that, man. So, so we got a lot going on. We got a lot of new products coming. Exciting stuff. But, you know, like I was saying, I don't just want to bring you guys apparel and clothing. I want to bring you guys content. And I want to try to bring you content that not a lot of other people are bringing you. I don't want to just be redundant, just be repeating the same thing that everybody else is doing. So, I actually got some really cool stuff in store for interviews. I got some territory managers that are going to do some interviews with us and talk about, you know, what it actually is that they do. Because a lot of guys in the industry just think that they're just out there taking people to lunch and that's pretty much it. I mean, there's a lot of behind the scenes movement going on, right? A lot of moving parts that you guys don't really see. Usually the sales guys see it or owners of companies see it. Also got a guy from TAC Estate who is direct connected with the guys up in like Washington, D.C. who basically go to bat for us on all the law stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Like there's a lot of stuff that's happening right now where the current administration is trying to change. Some of it is good. Some of it is not good. They kind of want to have less control of what's going on, which I'm kind of okay with that, but at the end of the day, I'm not okay with that because it just really opens the door for a lot of guys who don't know what they're doing to just come in and start. I mean, I guess, right, look at the bright side is it's a lot of stuff for us to fix. So, I mean, yeah. At the end of the day, right, I guess you could look at it half full or half empty. So, HVAC Heathen, you weren't going to chime back in? I thought I saw you wanting to get in, but... So yeah, so if nobody wants to chime in live, we're probably going to go ahead and sign off. But just wanted to bring you guys something that was a little bit different, out of the box, and yeah, man, just trying to keep it. Listen, what you have to say today, much respect. Cool.
Cool.
We appreciate that, man, for sure. And there's Ruth, HVAC Gurlow. She's out of Ireland. Just posted a picture of her with the hat, so mm-hmm. You know she's repping out there.
Nice.
So, I think that's it. Then we're going to sign off. So, I appreciate you coming out, man. I really do. I know you got a newborn, son, right? So
I do. Yeah.
You got your hands full for sure.
I do.
So we won't keep you too long, but, we appreciate it. Thanks for coming. And, hey man, if you guys got anything you want to see as far as interviews go or who you want us to talk to, you know, we may not be connected with them, but we'll muscle our way in there, dude. I'll just bust some doors down and be like, we need to talk to somebody in charge. So, first time listener, appreciate that, man. This is only my second live Instagram, so, you know, we're just trying to figure it out. All this audio will be dumped onto a podcast, so you can check it out, and it'll be our very first podcast as well. So, we appreciate you guys tuning in, and I appreciate you coming out, man.
Thanks for having me, Ben. Thanks. I appreciate it.